Hello, everybody. Welcome to NCC Online. My name is Pastor Rob. So glad to be with you today as we complete our 7-part series called Win the Day. These were habits that we wanted to implement in our lives. And the way I see it, they are all to advance the kingdom of God, to do His work, to become more effective, to be less stressful or worried. And I hope that you've enjoyed it. You can go back on our website and listen to any one of them, including this one later on. These habits, I think, are hopefully something you can take with you. They're biblical principles, and today's is no different. It's called Seed the Clouds. Seed the Clouds. Now, that funny name comes from Batterson's book, Win the Day. He talks about an experiment that happened back on November 13th, 1946. And on that fateful day, a plane took off from Schenectady County Airport with a rather unique payload. It was 6 pounds of dry ice. Now, you may have heard of this experiment. What happened was the mission was to actually seed the clouds with solidified carbon dioxide in hopes of creating enough condensation to cause precipitation. And that is exactly what happened. Vincent Schaefer flew his single propeller plane into a cumulus cloud, dumped all that dry ice in it, and eyewitnesses on the ground later said that the cloud just seemed to explode, and the subsequent snowfall was visible for 40 miles. Now, that science has not been totally proven or evolved yet, but that's what happens when you seed the clouds. And we're really talking about this biblical principle today. You reap what you sow. If you seed the clouds, you're going to get snowfall from the clouds. And if you plant, you're going to harvest. You are going to plant, and you're going to see what comes from your labor. And that's not only a biblical truism, it's a natural law that God has set up. It's true about our physical world, it's true, certainly true in the spiritual world, as we'll see this morning. With that in mind, let's pray together. Lord in heaven, we come before you humbly asking for your help. I pray through this lowly vessel you would speak, and we pray that you would be heard through the scripture, through your word, that each of us would be changed, that through this series, through your spirit, we would hear from you, we'd become more like you. And we pray that, Lord, you would help us be effective in our lives by implementing these habits and staying in your word and being led by your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I remember this immutable principle at work when I was only in sixth grade. That's probably when I got a taste of the awful reality in the negative sense that you reap what you sow. On that day in sixth grade, I did the unthinkable. I cheated on a test. I know, your pastor, he cheated on a test. The good news is I've never cheated on a test before that. I never cheated on a test after that. But that one day, and I still remember it like it was yesterday, I cheated on a test. I wanted to keep my grades up. I forgot to study, and the tests came, and I started looking at my friend John's paper. I was scribbling down answers as fast as I could. Now, I was not a very good cheater, and before long, it was pretty obvious that I was copying the answers, and my history teacher came over and wrung my neck. I mean, literally 80s style. He grabbed me by the neck and marched me up to the front of the class. I was so humiliated. I was so embarrassed, and he not only wrung my neck, he gave me a 0 on the test. You reap what you sow. If you don't study for a test, you're not going to pass the test. If you cheat on the test, you're going to get a 0 on the test. And worse, you know, if I had just given it a little bit of effort, I probably could have gotten at least a D, maybe even a C. But instead, I cheated and I got a 0. And we all know this principle's at work. We've all had those moments in life, whether they be something dumb as a middle school student, or whether they're later in life and the consequences are much more serious, or even positively when we reap what we sow. So here's what the Bible teaches, a very succinct passage that Paul gives us in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 9. Here's what it says. Don't be misled, church. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest. By the way, this word I'm using synonymously with planting, reaping. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So profound, so powerful, and yet so simple. A sixth grade student can figure it out. But also the wisest person could figure it out and continue to plumb the depths of the truth that's here. I want to break down this principle, this immutable principle of God, into five different parts that hopefully will help us to think practically about it today. Five parts of you reap what you sow. Here's the first part. Pick the right seeds. Pick the right seeds. That's the first verse. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Firstly, notice it's saying, don't think that you're above this principle. Don't mock God. Don't put him to the test like that. Don't think, well, I'm going to be the only one that can go and live my life my way. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm not going to listen to God. I'm not going to follow Scripture. Or maybe I'm going to pick and choose. I'm going to do the things I want to do. And then these other things, I don't think that's really in the Scripture. Don't mock God like that. Don't think you can do whatever you want and get away with it. God says, no, everybody's under this law. And so you ought to be very careful about the particular seeds that you're planting in your life. Again, whether you're talking about natural things or spiritual realities, the seeds that we plant are going to show up in the fruit that we get out of them. That's the principle. By the way, what do you call it when you accidentally plant the wrong flowers in your garden? What do you call it when you plant the wrong flowers in your garden? Oopsie daisies. I know, you're not laughing, but look, if you want more terrible jokes like that, you have to go to NCC Beyond Sundays, our podcast, because I give a terrible joke every week, and you won't laugh at that one either. But it's true. If you plant daisies in your garden, you should not expect to be picking from rose bushes later on. We all know that because the particular seeds matter, right? You're not going to get roses from daisy seeds. You're going to get them from rose bushes. A farmer isn't going to plant tomatoes and then later on in a different season look for corn. There's a lot of agriculture in my area where I live, and I like to take walks, and I'm always looking at the farmers, what they're planting, what they're sowing, what they're reaping. It's amazing, of course, with modern day equipment, all of these things that they're doing. But what's clear is they're going to reap what they sow. They're going to obviously get out of the ground what they put into the ground, whether that's the soybeans that I see a lot of, or the feed corn, or whether it's peanuts or cotton or whatever it is. Now, we tend to think of this principle as only negative, and I want to tell you today that there's a negative and a positive side to this principle. It is true that if you pick the wrong seed and it's negative in your life, you're going to reap the consequences. That's true. On the negative side, for example, if you treat your body badly, this is just a natural way that God set it up. If you treat your body badly, you will reap bad health. If I eat things that I shouldn't eat and I'm constantly just putting into my body junk food, and if I'm not exercising, and if I'm not caring for what the Bible calls the temple of the Holy Spirit, then I should know it's probably going to start falling apart on me. Now, God might show me grace anyways, but the reality is that's the natural order of things. If you treat people badly, you're going to end up reaping enemies. If you plant lies, you will reap mistrust. If you plant gossip, you will reap something like antagonism. If you plant jealousy, you will most likely reap bitterness in your life and others. If you plant meanness, you'll reap loneliness. You'll end up by yourself. If you plant lust, you will reap broken relationships again and again. And there's no way to bypass those negative rules. When you disobey God, you'll reap all kinds of negative outcomes. If you plant laziness, for example, you'll reap poverty. If you plant worry, you will reap a lack of peace. If you plant pride, Bible actually says you'll reap ruin or destruction. And if you plant greed, you'll reap corruption. Again and again, we see that true. We see it in the news. We see it in our own lives. And those are all negative examples. There's many others. You might think of some for your own life. So what seeds are you planting negatively? Take a moment to reflect. Am I planting seeds in my family that are hurting people? Am I planting seeds of bitterness or unforgiveness? Are these the areas of my life that I need to cultivate and weed out and let God, by His Holy Spirit, make me into something different? But the seeds can also be extremely positive. So don't just see this as negative. The flip side is equally true. The principle has so many positive effects. Here are just a few examples. If you plant forgiveness, you'll reap unity with other people, peace with them. If you plant honesty, seeds of honesty, wherever you go, you'll be known as a person of honesty. You'll reap trust. You'll probably reap promotion. You'll probably reap someone that can be counted on. If you plant kindness, you'll reap kindness from other people. That's reciprocity. That's almost always the way it works. Not every single time, but generally so. If you're kind to others, they'll be kind back to you. If you plant purity, you'll reap right relationships. That's true if you're married, for sure. It's true if you're dating. And it's even true in our regular, everyday relationships. And if you plant humility, the Bible says you'll reap God's favor. And if you plant faith, you will reap miracles. Think about it. The power of what we plant. Choosing the right seed, then, is of ultimate importance. And spending a little time thinking about this and praying about it and reflecting upon our lives, and each day reflecting upon our day to say, how have I done today with what God has given me? What seeds have I planted, negative or positive, so that I can allow God to do His work? So let me ask you, what seeds are you planting? Where are you cultivating? What are the intentional seeds positively that you're putting into your life and the life of others in the name of Christ? Because that is what you're going to harvest eventually. Maybe not right away, as the verse says, but eventually you will. The second part of this principle, therefore, is to sow generously. If we pick the right seeds, we ought to go for it. We ought not to hold back. We ought not to be stingy. We should spread all of these seeds around for the glory of God. The Greek word for sow or harvest in the New Living Translation is the word that has the connotation of scattering. And remember, we're in this agricultural society. Back in Bible times, they really understood these metaphors of farming and gardening. This meant a lot to them. Jesus spoke this way commonly. And when they said sowing the seed or planting the seed, it's not just like the way I think of it as someone who's seen some gardening as a kid. You have a little pot, you put the little seed in there, cover it up with soil, pour some water. No. This is like the farmer who's got a big old bucket, you know, and he's liberally throwing it out there. Why? Because they did not have all of the high-tech equipment that we have today. They did not have mechanical equipment, gas-powered equipment, and so on. They did not have engineered fertilizer or engineered seeds or engineered anything. They knew some of these seeds weren't going to take. So the principle is so liberally. Don't hold back. Now today, we take this to extremes in our farming equipment and what we're able to do. It's pretty cool. I saw this particular vehicle when I did a search for some of these. This is actually a 212-foot air seeder. Some of you would know a lot more about this than I do. It actually takes a pair of John Deere tractors just to move it. You can see there's some in the back. I mean, this is a massive piece of equipment just to sow as many seeds as humanly possible. I read that you can sow seeds in more than 2,000 acres a day with this bad boy. That's pretty cool. Think of it that way in your life. We often are like the way I think of it. Just take that one little seed, you know, plant it, wait for 3 years. So why is it growing? But the Bible says when it comes to the good seed, so liberally and be like this massive piece of equipment, just throw it out there and let God do the work. Pray and let God do the work. Here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:6. And the context of this verse is that he's speaking to his church And this church is to help another church, the church in Jerusalem that was struggling financially. They were being persecuted. They were hardly getting by. So Paul speaks to them and says, look, I want you to set aside your offering. I want you to set aside your tithes, just as you always do. And on Sunday morning, we're going to collect them during the service. But here's what he says specifically. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. Duh, right? But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Plant liberally, plant generously. Now here he's specifically talking about finances because he knew that this other church needed their help and God was leading them to give it. They had the means to give it. And so he says, don't hold back. You might even consider giving more than a tithe is implied here. Give generously. God loves a cheerful giver, he says later in the same text. And when you do, he says, you can expect that God is going to multiply that offering. He's going to take those seeds of faith and he's going to multiply it in their lives. And he's also going to give you a blessing because it's better to give than receive, as Jesus said. He may even return it financially is implied here, but it's not a promise. But often God does that as well. Our motives, though, should not be, oh, I'm going to give just so I can get back. Our motives should always be, I'm going to give because God told me to give. I'm going to give because it's the right thing to do. I'm going to give because it's such a blessing just to give, even if it doesn't return. So give generously and see what God will do. And we're not just talking about finances again. This is a universal principle. Sow these seeds of righteousness. Sow these seeds generously. Sow these seeds of love and devotion to God and purity and honoring Him with your time and hard work and all of these things and even taking care of your physical body and all the things that we can do as Christ followers. The third part is pick the right place to plant. Pick the right place to plant. Now, it's one thing you pick the right seed. That's intrinsic. That is ultimate in importance. If you pick the wrong seed, you're in big trouble. The text says it's kind of like the difference between the spirit and the flesh. The flesh is just going to lead to all kinds of decay and ruin and bad things. The spirit is going to lead to life and eternal things. And we're going to, in a sense, plant seeds that last for fruit for eternity. So choose the right seeds, but then also sow generously with those seeds. Why not? Why wouldn't you? And then pick the right place because not all the soil is created equal. We see this principle in a powerful story, one of Jesus's big parables. It's called the parable of the sower. It's in Matthew chapter 13. And in this parable, he shows again that the metaphor of farming and specifically a farmer going out to sow the seed. And he says, as he was scattering the seed, notice scattering, throwing it liberally, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it all up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked out the plants. Still other seed, though, fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. And that's what we're looking for. Now, this is a parable about God and the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and how when the gospel goes out, he puts that positive seed out liberally, and sometimes it's going to fall on rocky soil and the sun's going to get it and the birds are going to get it and all these different things, but sometimes it's going to fall on good soil and you're going to see a tremendous amount of fruit, different levels of fruit. And that's the Christian heart. We can't always control where the seed's going to go, and that's okay, but sometimes we can, in a sense. And what happens is we can sense by the Spirit of God where God is operating, where God is moving. We may not be able to sense that just sharing our faith with others, who you may not always know, but sometimes you can see God moving and think of it almost like the wind of the Holy Spirit. And our role here is not to do the work ourselves, but in a sense to make it easier on ourselves. We put up our human sails and we catch that wind. And wow, isn't that a great feeling when you see God moving and you just try to get on board with what he's doing. So you find, in mixing metaphors here now, but you find the soil that is fruitful, and you plant the seeds there whenever possible. Let God show you where that is. It might be in your personal life where you see the most fruit. You already see, wow, this is where God is really blessing me. This is the area where he's really helped me. He's gifted me. He's given me the ability to do this spiritually, and I'm going to really lean in there. Plant the seeds there, because that's how God is using you. And it's also true as our whole church family. I've observed through the years that not everything New Community Church does is effective. Sometimes you have to lean on the Holy Spirit of God. One big example is the giving it all away offering that we do every Christmas Eve. Those of you who have been around for several years, you know this is just such a great service. It's one of my favorite things to do. And by the way, if you're watching this on Sunday, there's only 55 days until Christmas. I know I probably just ruined your day, but now you know you have a very limited amount of time to shop and there's a lot to be done. Maybe you should just put up your Christmas tree today and get it over with. I don't know. But there's some good news, because it's such a great time of the year as a church family. We get to celebrate Jesus. We get to take part of this offering that is just giving it all away. And that's an example where when we first started doing it, we really didn't know if it was going to work. But the wind of the Holy Spirit took it and went well beyond where we could ever go. And we sensed that it was obvious, and we just tried to lean into it imperfectly by the grace of God. We saw God work. He always, year after year, gave us more money than we asked for. He always took that money and multiplied it for positive use. So we try to grow that through what we started calling 5/16ths. We try to honor God using Matthew 5:16 and doing outreach and service and working with Cuba and so on and so forth. That's an example of trying to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit and plant the seeds where they are most effective. You can't always do it, but when you can sense what God is doing, you can do it sometimes. Number four, the fourth part of this principle, you reap what you sow, is a bit of a caveat that I just think is really important. And it's this: remember God's grace. In everything I've been saying, we cannot make a big mistake about this principle and think, oh, this one is just about works. This one is just about our own righteousness. Because it could sound like it if you weren't reading it in context and understanding the scriptures. But the reality is, this principle, like all the other biblical principles, are rooted in grace. They're bathed in grace. They're sprinkled with grace. They're grace from A to Z, just as everything in the economy of God. What does that mean? That means we can't boast about it. We can't say, oh, good job. You know, I led such a great life. I was a good pastor, or I had fruit in my life. I must have reaped what I sowed. I did such a good job reaping, planting, that now I'm just reaping the benefits. No, because here's the thing. Even the principle of you reap what you sow works because of God's grace. We don't deserve any of it. Yes, it's a principle, and it's how God uses grace. It's how he wants this world to run. It's how he works in the spirit life. But we don't have any credit to ourselves, because just like a farmer planting the seed, the farmer didn't make the sun come up that day. The farmer didn't bring the rain. The farmer didn't make the soil. The farmer just did the part that God asked him to do. So he doesn't boast about it. He just says, oh, what a privilege. What a privilege it was to be able to work in this field and then harvest from it and get such satisfaction and life and food from it. That's how the Christian operates too. Don't misunderstand this principle as karma. I have found a growing amount of people like to use the word karma. Even many Christians like to use the word karma and would say, well, you know, it's kind of like what comes around goes around. And if you do something good, then it's going to come back to you. Well, a couple problems with that. One, that's not actually what karma teaches. Karma is from Eastern religion, namely Hinduism and a little bit in Buddhism. It's tied to the class system of Hinduism. It's very complicated to describe this, but actually has created an enormously negative effect on Hindu society, because it creates different castes of people. Why? Because karma is actually linked directly to reincarnation. And what it's teaching is, it's a system of righteous righteousness and a system of good works. It says if you do the right things with the right motives, you'll be able to higher your caste in this life. And when you're reincarnated, you'll get to a higher class and a higher class and a higher class till eventually you'll break out of that. And so karma says it's all about you and what you do. It really has very little to do with God. And it also says a false teaching that says that there's different castes of people and many people are better than others and it's okay to oppress some people. And that's not okay. And so we got to be careful about our words and make sure that we don't mistake what Jesus is teaching us, what the Bible is teaching us, with a wrong view. You reap what you sow is also not about vengeance. It would be easy to make that mistake and say, well, look at that person. They're just, you know, now they're in prison. They're reaping what they sow. And we say it in like a vengeful way and in a malicious way. Maybe we want our enemies to reap what they sow. And God says, no, you forgive your enemies. You love even your enemies. And it's not about vengeance. It's just a principle of God. And it's not about works righteousness. As I mentioned earlier, it's not saying that if I'm good enough, then I'll get to heaven by my good works. If I'm good enough, then good things will come to me. Bible actually says our goodness compared to God's righteousness is like filthy rags. Even our goodness is not good enough to make it to heaven. Even our goodness isn't good enough for God to accept us. We'll never meet his standard. But that's not bad news because Jesus Christ came to earth, God become man, so that he could die in our place and take the penalty for all of our sins, that by believing in him, we could receive what the Bible calls the righteousness of Christ, and by his grace, we are saved. By his grace, we are made righteous. By his grace, we can live righteously, including planting seeds that will grow into great fruit. So it's all grace A to Z, and it's such an important caveat to make. And then finally, number five, the fifth part of the principle, you reap what you sow. Never give up. Never, never, never give up. The last verse in our text is Galatians 6:9. Says, so let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. I know we're living in a time where everybody's tired and we're coming at a very, very difficult cultural time of a pandemic. And it's a wearisome time. We've talked a lot about it over the last year and a half, 2 years. But don't give up. No matter what you're going through, Christian, don't give up. And one of the big promises here is because if you don't give up, you will reap a tremendous harvest of blessing. Now, when will we reap that blessing? Some are wondering, Lord, I've been laboring in your field. I've been doing the work. I've been trying my best. I've been trying to be led by your spirit. I've been leaning into your grace, but I don't see the fruit. Well, the text says at just the right time. And if you were here last Sunday online or in person, you know that this is the biblical word kairos. If you missed that message, go back and listen to it. Kairos is a specific kind of time that's found in the Bible that means opportunity or a quality of time when the Holy Spirit begins to move. And so the answer is, when will I reap the blessing? Well, when God decides, but it'll be just the right time. Because he always knows what's best. And he always knows the right timing. So don't give up. You're probably right on the verge of breakthrough. In fact, if you're ready to give up, it proves that you're right there on the ready to break through with God. Every time in my life when I look back, when I was almost at that point of calling it quits. By the grace of God, I never got to that point. But there have been points, just like everybody, where I get fatigued and tired, and Lord, where are you? And what are you doing? And how come it's not working out? Where is the harvest? Every time that's happened, it turned out to be just on the brink of God's activity, his movement, and his fruit in my life. I remember that was true right before I finished college. There's a story there. I told a little bit about it on the podcast this week. Right before I took any new ministry assignment, I sort of had that sense. Right before I got any promotion, I sort of had that sense, almost ready to give up. Right before I came to New Community Church as a pastor, I had that sense too. and yet God broke through again and again. I give you many specific examples. You might have some as well. Realize that if you're ready to give up, it's because God is on the brink of doing something new. He wants to use you. He wants you to be faithful. He wants to stretch you just to what you can handle. And he wants to bear much fruit in your life. And that's true, I believe, for our church. I think we're right on the verge, coming out of this pandemic, of some great things, some fruitfulness, seeing people converted and coming to Christ and baptized and growing in their faith. I really believe that. The staff and the elders, we believe that. We've been talking about that. We've been praying about that, especially for next year. And if the Lord leads, you'll be hearing more about that as well. So don't give up. Hang in there. Keep going. And know that God's about to do something great in your life. Let's pray. We pray for that, Lord, because as we said, this is a grace deal. We understand that our own works are not enough. In fact, they'll fall far short of your glory and your goodness and your standard. Forgive us for our sins and the things that we do that hold your activity back and we become ineffective. Forgive us for our lack of faith that keeps us from going forward. Forgive us for our laziness that doesn't want to sow and plant the seeds of righteousness in our lives. And Lord, we pray that we would not give up. Give us strength. Give us courage. Give us boldness as individuals listening in right now and in person and all of our church family, even ones who couldn't be here today, that we would together advance the kingdom of God for the glory of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. You will bless us uniquely, individually, and as families, but you will also bless us together corporately as a church, a local church in Elizabeth City that you have called to do your good work. May we never be humiliated or put to shame, but instead that you will lift us up for the glory of God. And all glory to you, King Jesus Christ. In your name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. And as I hinted a couple times, keep pushing the podcast, NCC Beyond Sundays. You can find that pretty easy. If you can't call the church, we'll help you out. And that's a great way to extend the sermon. Also hope that you have a great week and look forward to a brand new series next week on prayer. And it's really, I hope, going to grow our faith and our communion with God.